Welcome to The Ground Truth, a cybercrime magazine podcast series brought to you by ExtraHop. In this series, we'll discuss how network data helps you get to the ground source of truth for cyber attacks. ExtraHop is a cyber analytics and security provider specializing in cloud-native network detection and response for hybrid enterprises. To learn more about ExtraHop, visit extrahop.com. I'm your host, Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Here with me today is Matt Cawthorn, VP Cloud and Security Field Engineering at ExtraHop. Welcome, Matt. So great to have you with us.
Thanks, Hillary. Great to be here.
So, Matt, ExtraHop specializes in cloud-native network detection and response, or NDR. Tell us about what this is and how it's different from other categories our listeners might be more familiar with, like EDR and SIEM.
Yeah, this is a really important question because in order to answer it, it might be worth sort of rewinding back through history, okay. You know, going back even 20 years now, where network visibility has historically been relegated to really two things. One, continuous packet capture, which has its own sort of set of unique challenges, especially in the modern era of data center and app delivery and security. And two is the sort of signature-based pattern matching approach of perimeter-based intrusion detection systems and intrusion prevention systems. And so in the modern sense, network detection and response is a very, very different animal, although the deployment model is exactly the same as the sort of legacy approaches. The actual processing model and the treatment of the traffic is very, very different. And this distinction is really sort of worth digging into a little bit. So in the modern era, we would once approach it from the perspective of, well, I see some traffic that matches this pattern, therefore I deem it suspicious and it warrants some semblance of investigation. And now the investigation had historically been, especially in the past, sort of choose your own adventure and exercise left up to the analyst. Where in the modern era, we're using big data approaches and we're extracting behavioral characteristics and features from the network at modern scales. And if the traffic is encrypted, you should be able to decrypt it because lots and lots of behaviors hide inside of encrypted traffic. And then you're able to do this at scale in order to understand and track these behaviors over time. And so now, with modern network traffic analysis techniques, we're able to invoke a level of intelligence and sort of machine learning, and as well as even just rules-based, which was once relegated to like a pattern matching algorithm or heuristic. Now we're able to get very, very behavioral and understand deep transaction level characteristics and how those transaction level characteristics match to behaviors or suspect behaviors in the environment. And that includes, then I promise I'll stop after this, but that includes, understanding like access patterns over time. Do I understand this asset and is it critical? Yes or no? And if it is critical, what are the traditional or sort of the historical, I should say, access patterns into this particular asset? And what are the behaviors? How do we characterize the consumers of this asset's services? And then when changes occur, those changes are flagged. And those changes are often, especially if they're suspicious, they're definitely flagged with a risk score and the investigative and supporting evidence behind it. That's a crucial distinction. So network detection and response really tries to honor that full spectrum of workflow from the network-based, detection all the way through to the incident response and the investigative workflows behind it.
Very cool. I think that's really helpful. So thank you. That depth was actually really interesting to listen to. And Gartner recently signaled that NDR has come out of the trough of disillusionment and into the slope of enlightenment in their hype cycle for security operations. What do you think that means for the industry?
Well, first of all, they love dramatic terms, don't they?
Super dramatic trough of disillusionment.
The trough of disillusionment. So as dramatic as it sounds, and it's, I'm poking fun in good spirit here. It's actually really true. And if you think about, I don't know, gosh, the last probably 3-4 years, there was all of this hype around machine learning, mm-hmm. just that one thing alone, that one topic as it relates to cyber in particular was really, really, really overhyped. And the now that we're emerging from the trough of disillusionment and on this path to actual adoption, I'll call it, or
sure.
maybe enlightenment, we've landed up in this sort of squarely in this sort of pragmatist view of the world. It's like, look, the adversary has such an asymmetrical advantage against you that machine learning simply has to be part of your strategy. Now, is it going to like solve world hunger and power your apartment while you sleep? No, it's not going to do those things. It's not the sort of panacea that it was promised to be. Instead, it's very, very intelligent. It's getting more intelligent all the time. And it's really, this is crucially, crucially important for anyone that's listening. It's really dependent upon the quality of the features, the behavioral and sort of the features that you care about, of the patterns that you care about. It's really, really dependent on the quality of the features that you extract and the feature engineering, and which is fancy talk for like, look, I need to pay attention. I need my machine learning to pay attention to the stuff that matters. And I need it to not pay so much attention to the stuff that doesn't. And when you look at the sort of modern era of NDR through that lens, it makes really, really good sense that we're sort of on the path to enlightenment, and we're sort of, it's becoming much more sort of muscular memory for the SOC, which is wonderful news, because you should be able to honor a full spectrum of detection capabilities. And what I mean by that is, if you imagine, so if all of the listeners, if you imagine like a horizontal line in front of you, and on the left side of the line, you've got like, you know, hygiene, you've got just general purpose visibility, security controls that you want to sort of implement, assess, and monitor moving forward. So you want to understand the environment writ large, right? Because you can't protect what you don't understand.
Right.
And then in the middle of this is the gray area of behavioral detection. This is where machine learning really, really, really shines. Call it in the sort of 30 to 70% or 80% confidence interval, where it's like, look, I haven't observed this behavior. It's very, very suspicious. Here's why we've come to this conclusion. And here are the investigative workflows and the investigative steps behind it to sort of adjudicate this thing up or down. And then on the far right of that spectrum, call it say 90 to 100% are certain sets of rules where it's like, look, if I see the zero logon behavior pattern, this is a recent and horrible exploit that's out there. If I see this pattern, flag it, it's crucial every single time. And so we've really landed at this place of pragmatism and this sort of utilitarian approach that's squarely centered on like, you know, to the extent possible, to every extent possible, accelerating analyst and SOC workflows and sort of embracing this insight-driven, behavior-driven model for network analysis. That's the sort of long story there.
Awesome. And zero trust architecture is something that's on the mind of many CISOs today. How is NDR similar and different from what zero trust provides?
Okay, so zero, if you think about, in order to talk about this one, I'll zoom back out again. And if you think about the properties of the network itself as a data source, and again, I'll encourage everyone to sort of stress test my thinking and our perspective at ExtraHop on this. If you think about the data sources available to the SOC, the network has a certain set of properties that make it, you know, I think Gartner recently also said it was sort of a mandatory or high priority bit of coverage for the security practice. Mm-hmm. And the reason why that is the properties of the network, it's very, very difficult to evade it. It's very difficult to turn it off because that's a self-sabotaging endeavor for the adversary. And it's really hard to manipulate it. And so this sort of passive observational point of view into the world gives it this very, very broad and potent purview into the environment, whether it's cloud or a terrestrial data center or hybrids and all that stuff. It's all kind of there passively being watched. And what that means for zero trust is you know, with this idea of the sort of perimeter is evaporating before our eyes, especially in the modern era, right? And so you can no longer trust internal assets. The historical model of internal users on a set of, you know, corporate networks, say,
right,
you know, is that we trust them because they're on our network and they're using a sanctioned device. And zero trust just says, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We want to make sure that, you know, everything is sort of controlled in this granular way. And to the extent that you can get a behavioral understanding and sort of broad brush visibility into the assets and the consumers of those assets and the services that they expose, both on the client side and the server side and everything in between, intermediate devices, points of control, various network segments that have different levels of privilege, then you start to really end up with this virtuous cycle of visibility. And that visibility is complemented by, or it kind of cuts both ways. It's complemented by the actual technical implementation of a zero trust approach. And so zero trust is a much more potent strategy when you have this sort of network level, this passive observational truth of the network itself. And so it's a really sort of complementary and powerful way to just bolster the entire practice from the inside all the way out to the edge, wherever the edge even lives anymore. That's open to debate, actually.
Mm, that's a good point. And so similarly, there's a lot of buzz right now around XDR. So how does NDR differ from XDR, and why may an enterprise choose one over the other?
Yeah, this is a good question. And the truth of the matter is I will give you my interpretation of XDR, and I would ask everyone to scrutinize the XDR providers out there and ask them this question, because it really is open to interpretation. This acronym is, I think, it's oftentimes deliberately vague, where, you know, and again, this is not me calling out any vendors. It's just, this is a sort of marketing term that's open to a lot of interpretation. And so here's how I see XDR. XDR has a very worthy goal, frankly, and it has a lot of intrinsic promise, I would say. I think that it needs to be, the time's going to tell as to how well it sticks. But the promise is, it's like, look, someone needs to federate the various data sources in the environment and sort of treat them as discrete things, but also in this holistic kind of way. That's, think it's logs, it's endpoint, it's firewall logs, it's potentially network traffic, and then take intelligent actions based on that. So the promise of XDR is very, very real. I think it's a nascent market, and there's a lot of sort of room for movement in one way or the other, depending on which vendor you're talking about. But the good news here is that it really always depends on the data sources. I'm going back to the data sources. You've got human-based analyst inputs. You've got threat intelligence that sort of leverages the collective out there in the public domain, various ISACs, industry groups, whatever. And then you've got the traditional and always there sort of table stakes data sources in the enterprise. Specifically, those are SIEM for log file analysis. It's endpoint, EDR for endpoint, obviously, and network. And XDR is this sort of, the way I think about XDR is it's this sort of overlay into all of those things. And it tends to cater to a more mature shop from a security maturity perspective, which is fine and great. But it all nets out to like this complementary strategy. And I'm very excited about the sort of emergence of XDR, because it really does rationalize something, a drum that we as a company, ExtraHop, have been banging pretty hard for years now. It's to like think about your security practice and the sort of operational concern along the boundaries of, in particular, by the way, for detection and response. Think of it in terms of the data sources available to your practice: SIEM, endpoint, threat intelligence, network, et cetera. And then align your practice to fully, fully leverage those data sources, even this cross-functional kind of way. And XDR really does try to, at least the promise of XDR, tries to leverage that sort of cross-data source federation of data in its treatment. It's a very ambitious project, frankly.
Well, I think that was really great for our listeners. And I think that You gave them a little homework, which is fun too. so I hope that they, you know, take you up on that and read a little further. But this has been really great. Matt, thank you so much for joining us today.
Happy to be here. Looking forward to the next one.
Absolutely. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. The Ground Truth is brought to you by ExtraHop, a cyber analytics and security provider specializing in cloud-native network detection and response for hybrid enterprises. To learn more about our sponsor, ExtraHop, visit extrahop.com, and you can listen to all of our podcasts at cybercrime.radio.